Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
The Syrian refugees that come here come with a notion that they're not wanted, that they're not liked. Yeah. They're fearful. It quickly turns around when they meet our team, when we take them to their home, when we have a hot meal prepared for them and start doing life with them.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Wherever Christ is to be found, that's where you'll find Compassion Radio, bringing you the stories of God's people doing God's work God's way. And today is no exception. Jim Gavernale would normally sit in to make this program introduction, but he has a number of pressing broadcast responsibilities today, so I'm doing double duty. So I'll say it. Thanks for joining us today. Here's where we're going with this program. We've all heard the parable of the Good Samaritan like a zillion times, but when was the last time you were able to say to yourself, "Hey, I know that guy that the Samaritan helped"? Well, my guest today is one of those people. In fact, he is a Good Samaritan in the truest sense. I was thrilled to sit down with him for this powerful story of that parable coming to life right here in our own country. And now, to the interview. Friends, welcome to Compassion Radio, and we are all about discovering the new thing God is doing in some of the most unusual places. Now, some of those most unusual places can be the most familiar to us. So we're going to focus on a part of the world that many people have gone to visit, maybe on vacation, maybe live down there. In the state of Florida, there's a young man named David Chavez, and he's a 26-year-old that had an interesting encounter with the gospel while doing short-term missions work. And I want to welcome him aboard Compassion Radio today.
Hello, Brown. Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you, son, because this is going to be a great talk, because you did something a little unusual. You didn't just go on a short-term missions project, which I want to ask you about. You came back a different person and decided to plug yourself into finding the thing that would make the biggest difference right where you are. So first of all, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with short-term missions back in 2013.
I grew up on the mission field. My mom and my dad were missionaries in Bolivia when I was born. I've lived on the mission field most of my life. I've been blessed to be part of kingdom work. I've been blessed to learn how to engage communities, how to share the story of Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a practical way, and have opportunities to plant seeds of love, kindness, and forgiveness to the people that were in front of me.
Being a good third culture kid, you have an appreciation for the universality, I guess, of the gospel. Third culture kids get this. They realize that they've been born into something that's unique. It's a subculture. Not many people get that experience of growing up fully vested in the life of the kingdom in other cultures, but also having a strong tie back to your mother culture. So you have a rich treasure there, but it doesn't often feel like that to kids who grow up that way. Did you ever have any struggles with identity or figuring out that this was a blessing and not a curse?
Oh, certainly, certainly. I've always had a difficult time with where is home? My heart is with different people groups, with different languages. It was always difficult to find a sense of having roots.
Yeah.
And having the ability to speak different languages, you know, has given me the ability to engage with different people groups and communities that have allowed me to learn new stories, new ways of doing things, new types of food. It's broadened my vision for the kingdom as I was growing up.
And that is something that really is useful to the kingdom, for sure. Now, you grew up. You have a scientific bent. You're now working as a research scientist, working on important things, medical advances, and that brought you to South Florida. So is that where you thought you were going to settle in and make your mark in the world, was in science?
No, not at all. Not at all. Being in clinical research is something I stumbled upon simply for getting by, actually. My heart and my passion is to be able to engage into different parts of the world and follow the dreams that my father had in reaching unreached people groups. I've always had the urge of wanting to go places, of wanting to live in different countries where the gospel was not known well.
Okay. So this particular vocation then is really your bridge into the things that you really have a passion for.
It pays my bills.
Amen to that. It's always nice to have some bills paid while you're doing the Lord's work. So you have this career, which you were not expecting. God kind of placed that one in your lap. And then just a few years ago in your mid-20s, you decide to step out and go do some more missions work, and you went to where?
I went to Greece, to the city of Athens. I was there for about 3 weeks, and we were teaching English to the immigrants that were coming in from North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia. And since Athens, Greece is a gateway into Europe, everyone wanted to go into Europe, had to go through Athens, Greece. And so we were there right at the front doors at a small Korean church teaching English to the people that were coming by.
And this is right where things were starting to peak with all of the refugee crisis coming out of Syria, the boat people coming across the ocean at the same time, wasn't it?
Yes, 2013, and we were hearing horrendous stories at that time of families risking their own lives, going on a journey into Europe, leaving everything behind.
So you're caught in kind of a whirlwind of the world's greatest story, really. I mean, the news was all over this for a while, and you just happened to be there at that time. And your ambition was to do something very noble, help those who were trying to get relocated and make the bridge from one culture to another as they pursued a new life in Europe. So you were teaching English through this church. How successful was the program?
It was successful. Many of the students that stayed in Athens were able to learn the English language. There were many of those that were there for only weeks. It was difficult at times as well. Success comes when we see these families being touched by Christ through us, by planting seeds of love, of peace, and of joy into their lives.
Amen.
Every time we left the English class, it was always touching. They've always invited us to their homes to have dinner or lunch as a way of saying thank you for what you are doing.
Now, those are special times. I know what it's like to sit down across the table, see someone's real life. Their faces come alive when they're in their own homes, when they have a chance to be the host to an honored guest. Something just happens in people.
Yeah.
What a treasure it is to be able to enjoy that and to receive it. Now, from that experience, you came back to the States. And this experience planted a bug in you more than just satisfied a curiosity. What happened when you got back home?
I came back and I realized that South Florida is a gateway for immigrants who are looking for a better life, who have escaped oppression, who have escaped persecution from countries like Cuba, Haiti, Colombia, Panama, Guatemala.
Did you find that to be the case? Most of the immigrants you were meeting were refugees of some sort.
They were refugees, but they did not have the title refugee.
And that's a tough one because the title refugee has certain connotations about being strictly about an active war zone.
Yes.
Or if you're not one of those kind of refugees, you don't really qualify in the minds of many because you're obviously just an economic opportunist.
Right.
But you had experience close up with those who were in the South Florida area coming from all these different regions of the world. What would you say was the number one cause that people made the effort, that took the dangerous route and came all the way from their countries to America?
We've seen families that have come from Panama who have escaped gangs, from El Salvador, from Cuba. There's a lot of families that came from there who were oppressed by the economic system in Cuba and from Colombia as well.
So these people are now in your lap, and no one's taken them up on the opportunity to learn the language efficiently and effectively so they can communicate well in their country of adoption. So what did you do?
One of the first things I did was I went to every ESL school in my community.
And by ESL, you mean English as a second language?
Yes, that's correct. I went and I visited and I taught there, I volunteered there, and I learned that there are two types of students. There are students who want to pursue an academic career, and the other type of student who simply wants to learn how to say hello, how are you, how do I get to my bus stop.
Yeah, basic survival skills.
And the second type of student tended to be a lot older, mid-30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s. The ESL schools did an amazing job being able to teach those that wanted to pursue an academic career, but there were some deficiencies with these students who needed additional practice, who needed consistent repetition. I started Bridges Language Academy. My goal was to help those students who simply wanted to
to get by, who needed those basic survival skills. The same type of student that I was seeing in Athens, Greece.
So how many did you find?
We have between 25 to 30 students coming from Guatemala, from Cuba, and from Colombia.
And this is not a for-profit school you've started here. This is all volunteer.
This is all volunteer. I received the books through donation from families and friends. And the church that I host the English classes was a Spanish church down in the city of Lake Worth.
And how many volunteers work with you now?
At that time, we had about 5 to 10 volunteers.
And the school is still going?
Yes, the school is still going.
Amen. So you're maintaining a current enrollment around the same, or is it growing each year?
Well, that's where it gets interesting for our ESL school. It wasn't until 2015 where we were approached by Church World Service, which is the resettlement agency, one of the 9 that has permission to resettle refugees that were processed by the United Nations into the United States, contacted me and asking if I'd be willing to teach English to their clients, families in our community. And I quickly learned that these refugees that were coming were all Syrian, Middle Eastern refugees. I was very excited about this opportunity. I quickly said yes, and pretty soon we started seeing a lot more Syrian refugee families in our classroom, and we quickly became a safe place for Syrian refugees to learn the English language.
So the very people that you had such a passion for while you were in Greece, the people you didn't think you'd ever have a chance to reach again, but inspired you to start a school that could help anybody you might find in South Florida, were suddenly back in your lap.
Yeah.
It seemed like an interesting interlude that God would bring you through that stage of becoming proficient in the art and the skill of helping anybody learn the language and become a new American citizen or resident was the very skill that God needed you to be prepared with in order to minister. I think it's marvelous how God put a few important divine appointments in a row that he intended to prepare you for what was coming. We're in a situation now nationally, as you well know, that there's a lot of backlash about the very notion of the world coming to us, especially those from those countries where they're under the most threat from ISIS or Daesh, as they call them over there. How do you handle the politics and the anti-Arab mentality that seems to be rising up so much in this country? What do you do as a minister to those who are here because they've also been crushed by the same anti-Christian, anti-Western worldview, and communicate to the Christian family especially that this ministry is so necessary for those who are now in our country?
Since I returned from Athens, Greece, I've been trying to get back, go to the Middle East, and do ministry over there. But the Lord just kept closing those doors on me. Every time that I'd knock on the door, every time that I would even try to open a window, that those doors, windows were slammed shut on me. When these families from Syria started coming to our community, I quickly realized that this is a huge opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to these families who have escaped severe oppression, severe persecution, who are questioning their own past, who are questioning their own faith, who are wanting to explore, wanting to look for hope, wanting to look for true love. And so it is a huge opportunity for these families to come here to West Palm Beach. We as a church be able to receive them. Mm. When a refugee family comes to the United States, they do not know anyone. Yeah. We become their first people they engage with, their first friends and family who are going to walk with them in their new chapter of life.
We love because He first loved us. That's the powerful truth of God's love for us, and He means for us to live the same way, to be the first to love. Friends, Compassion Radio has made it our mission to enable people just like you to be the first to love. And we do it month by month with special partnership projects with committed ministries located in dozens of different countries. We go to these places to help them, and we bring home the stories of how you are helping God's kingdom to grow all around the world. Now, after 73 years, that mission and ministry continue, but it will only continue if you stand with us. This year alone, I've already been invited to travel to Cuba, the Sahara, the Middle East, Northern India, China, and Eastern Europe. Why? So that we can become eyewitnesses to the amazing progress being made right now toward completing the Great Commission. The church around the world is on fire and bringing the gospel to places it has never gone before. The story they have to tell needs to be heard. It needs to be celebrated and supported here in the West. But friends, we haven't gone yet, and we can't go unless you send us. By your generosity this year alone, we have been able to fund Bible projects to our military and to rebuild key facilities at the Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa. However, an unprecedented drop in our sustaining monthly giving has put us far behind our bare minimum budget to keep this program on this station. In fact, it's been a 45% drop since the year began. I hope you understand how important it is for us to see this trend reversed immediately. Can I count on you to make sure our 74th year of ministry is not our last? Please contact us today with your gift, and make sure to ask for our special offer, The Case for Easter, when you do. Call us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Mail us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or give right now at CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking this plea seriously and prayerfully. We love you, friends, and we thank you for all you do through Compassion Radio. Now, back to the interview.
When a refugee family comes to the United States, they do not know anyone. Yeah. We become their first people they engage with, their first friends and family who are going to walk with them in their new chapter of life.
Are the churches standing by you in this? Do they understand that this first point of contact is a wide open one for the gospel?
There are many churches that do, that are behind us, who are working alongside us. We are incredibly grateful with those churches. We do have a few churches who are not there yet, but they're slowly understanding by what they're seeing with our team.
Okay, David, what you're saying about becoming the first friends, I want to camp on that for a second. The whole notion of being the first to care, the first to intervene, the first to do something, the first to carry the gospel in a cup of cold water to somebody who needs it. That right there is gospel. And when Jesus talks about the Samaritan, it's not that he was the first to see the person who was suffering. He was the first to go and do, and he became the injured man's first real friend. And in a lot of ways, you are being the good Samaritan to a entire population of people who are ignored by even the majority of the Christian world. And so I want to applaud you for being the one to step out and do the right thing for those people. And in the process, you're bringing Jesus to them. And they're discovering this Isa, this prophet they heard about, but never really knew. They're getting to know you, therefore they're getting to know Jesus. And I think that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Is there any example story you can tell us of how someone who received you and received the work that you and your friends have done through the Bridges Language Academy, someone that's come to know Jesus because of it?
We get to be witnesses every day and be able to capture stories through our own experiences of what Christ is doing among us with these Syrian refugees. These refugees have left their homes, have been rejected by their own countrymen, traveled to neighboring countries where they've been rejected once again. Then, after 2 to 3 years of processing in the United Nations, end up here, and they are accepted for who they are, given the baggage that they carry. They are loved, they are cared for, they are wanted, and those are things that they have not received for years. And so, when they start receiving that, they quickly notice that these are followers of Christ. These are not Christians you see on television who call themselves Christian. They get to see who are those who really follow Christ and really follow the things they believe in. And that's what makes a huge difference. And I do have to mention that the Syrian refugees that come here come with a notion that they're not wanted, that they're not liked.
Yeah.
And they're fearful. They arrive to the airport with fear that they're not going to be accepted because of what they see on television, what they hear from the United States. It quickly turns around when they meet our team, when we take them to their home, when we have a hot meal prepared for them and start doing life with them.
So, David, this Bridges Language Academy evolved into something that's much more than just an English as a second language program. You really are building life bridges with these people and introducing them to lively and life-affirming faith that is present in you and your volunteers. These are Christian people who care enough to bring God's very best to those who are being refused by much of the world and have at least politically been accepted as refugees in this country. But there's a whole lot more to building a life than just being allowed in the door. It has to do with building relationships and wanting to be part of the people you've joined and no longer being an outcast in the countries you're passing through. So I'm praying that these opportunities will continue for you, that you'll show the way by good example and leadership for other churches and communities to learn how to deal with the foreigner in their midst. I want to commend you, brother. This Bridges Language Academy is something that I think needs to be emulated and started somewhere else in this country. I know there are a lot of other cities where there are many of these kind of refugees that are moving in. And obviously, the first touch is going to be someone who wants to help them be able to survive in this new culture. And that's exactly what teaching English as a second language does. But as you've made very clear, it's much more than that. It's about inviting people into your lives and being willing to care. Is there any last comment you'd like to make to our listeners today about how they could and should be praying for and looking for opportunities to serve like you're doing where you are?
I would like to say we have grown. We are engaging right now with about 29 to 30 families. Team has exploded to over 200 volunteers who are walking with us.
Amen.
Who are walking with the families. I am incredibly grateful for our team and the hard work that they put during their free time. I do ask for prayer for my team as they continue to engage with our refugee families in helping them immerse into culture, into society, into the English language, but also have continuous opportunities to plant seeds in their life that would lead these families towards Christ.
Friends, pray for those down in South Florida that are working with the Bridges Language Academy and for David Chavez's leadership there, that God would open many more doors. Wouldn't it be great if a large percentage of the refugees that end up here in America, whatever the political climate might be, have one of their first touch points in our culture, someone who loves Jesus? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because you know that the first relationships become the primary ones, and they help define our lives. The very first people we meet in life are our parents and our siblings. They shape us in ways we can't even imagine or even understand until we're much older. The same thing is true of people coming into our culture. They're born into a new country. The very first people that will touch them, will reach out to them, have the biggest chance of winning them to real loving relationships, and in our case, with someone who loves them ultimately. So I do encourage you to pray for these folks. David, how would they find out more about what you're doing there? Is your website back up yet?
My website. We're still in construction. Due to pushback that we received this past year, we actually shut down our website and our contact information for the safety for the families that we are engaging with.
I understand the dangers of that. I thank you for saying that. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, let's do it this way. If you would like to find out more about what David is doing, email us at Compassion Radio. We'll pass those on personally to David so that he has a chance to meet you individually. If you have a real heart and passion for doing the same kind of work in the cities where you are. I know there are many world cities like St. Louis and Cincinnati and New York and where David is down there in South Florida, Los Angeles. And there are many cities where the world is coming to us that need these kind of opportunities for Christians to step up and be the first point of contact with immigrants. So contact us here at Compassion Radio. Info at Compassion Radio will be fine. Just email us and say, I'd like to know more about David Chavez and his work. We'll get you in contact with them. David, thank you so much for spending just a little bit of time with us here on Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much, Dan, for having me.
Maybe we can get an update on how things are coming along with these new refugees. Would you mind us checking in with you again?
I would love that.
Very good. Again, friends, we've been having a great conversation with David Chavez, a young man who met the Lord through his family and missions work as a third culture kid in South America, took it all the way across the world to Greece, and met people from all the troubled areas of the Middle East. And now suddenly God's put them back in his lap there in South Florida. What a marvelous confluence of circumstances. It's amazing how God does that. So we hope to have him back again soon on Compassion Radio. David, thank you for making time for us.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, trying to disprove him, actually, but coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was, in fact, a real person. He died and rose again for him. And watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was a very beautiful film. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but they've improved greatly in the past 2 or 3 years. Now, this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection, something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter, especially when questions come up from friends or family who go to see this film. So friends, please, The Case for Easter. Order yours today.
The number to call is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, you can find us on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.